Hi everyone, it's Kim. Now next week, The Comb is back with a brand new episode. But today I'm bringing you something a little bit different, a special bonus episode. And with me in the studio today is someone who I met up with on our recent trip to Kenya. She is the winner of the BBC World Service International Podcast Competition, the first ever winner. And her name is Namulanta. Namulanta, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Kim. My name is Namulanta Kombo, and I live in Nairobi, Kenya. I work here. I've lived here all my life, and I have two amazing children. And one of them is my daughter, Coco, who inspired me to develop this podcast.
And that podcast is called Dear Daughter. So what is Dear Daughter all about?
Dear Daughter is a podcast that I host, and it's letters written in by people from all over the world to their own daughters, to the daughters they hope to have, to the daughters they've lost. These letters are anecdotes and personal stories of advice that people feel that women of the world should know about. And it ranges from marriage to the type of underwear that you wear. And it's such a beautiful way for us to collect stories and share them across the world.
And you mentioned that it was inspired by your daughter, Coco. Just tell us how the idea came about. How did she inspire you?
Coco has been inspiring me from the day she was born because I wanted her to feel that I am there for her, whether I am physically or not. And I had the idea to collect letters and pieces of advice and stories and anecdotes for her from myself and from the people around her that love her, so her family and my friends. And I realized that she could learn so much from so many people. It doesn't have to be from me, and it doesn't have to be from the people that she sees every day. It could be from someone who lives across the world, who's living a very similar life, just thousands of miles away. And that is how I came about to put my idea forward for the BBC contest.
And that idea was the winning idea. You won the first ever BBC World Service International Podcast Competition. So Namulanta, tell me, what has it been like for you having had this idea to then bring it to life?
It's been amazing to watch. I sometimes feel like it's happening to somebody else because I've learned so much in terms of the technical aspects of being in a studio and understanding sound levels and learning how to interview people. So that bit has been amazing. But what has been even better for me is talking to people from all around the world about their stories and their lives and how they're dealing with things that I'm also dealing with, the hopes and the dreams that they have for their own daughters. It's been the best part. And I suppose one thing it has done for me is help me learn how to listen. And I've found that as I listen to people's stories, it's made me feel a lot more connected. I think sometimes with everything that happens in life, I feel like sometimes you become a bit disconnected, but it's really been a personal joy to listen and actively listen to people, even people that I don't know. Yeah.
No, I feel you, and Namulanta, I know exactly what you mean about like something quite hard. Because we always have things going on in our heads, but to actually just kind of tune into what somebody is saying is a real skill. Good. Okay, so today I'm going to bring you a special bonus episode of Dear Daughter. This one is called Fly, Bird, Fly, and it features Nkule in South Africa. So just tell us a little bit more about this episode and why you like it, Namulanta.
I love this episode because we spoke to Nkule in South Africa, as you said, and she grew up with a lot of stereotypes, and she had to unlearn them once she went to university and fell in love with someone from a completely different culture. And it's her journey of bringing her two families together now, who have different cultures, and talking to her daughter about exploring the world and learning from the world and leaving her comfort zone, which for me is really important because you want to protect your child, you want to keep them safe, but there's no way that they can grow as a person if you don't let them fly. And that was advice that Nkule gave me that I found really valuable in trusting how you raised your child and trusting that you have a strong relationship and letting them live their own life.
Well, let's take a listen to that episode. And remember that all 15 episodes of season one are available to binge listen. To find the rest, just search for Dear Daughter wherever you find your podcasts.
Hello, it's me, Namulanta Kombo with Dear Daughter, the podcast I'm making with the BBC World Service. I'm collecting letters of advice from all over the world to create a sort of handbook to help daughters everywhere navigate their way through life.
Dear Daughter.
Dear Daughter.
My Dear Daughter.
Dear Daughter.
Episode 10, Fly Bird Fly. I want to introduce you to my guest in this episode.
My name is Nkule. I'm from South Africa, was born and bred here. I am turning 32 this year. Was born in Durban, which is a city in KwaZulu-Natal, one of the biggest tribes here in South Africa.
Nkule is going to tell us why it's important to travel and get out of your hometown.
My tribe really doesn't like traveling. We don't like mixing a lot with other people. We are sort of considered to be aloof. I don't want that. So that is the biggest thing for me. My daughter not to walk in those footsteps, to learn something bigger than her.
Nkule is Zulu. She says she grew up believing in lots of stereotypes about other tribes. She was very unusual in her family. She left her hometown to study at university in a neighboring province, where the dominant tribe was the Xhosa. Apologies for my pronunciation. Nkule had been told growing up that you couldn't trust Xhosa people. So she was worried about studying there.
I was a minority when I came to the Eastern Cape. So I was one of the odd ones out. So now that forced me to realize that it's not all about me. You know, I mean, not everyone is like me. Had I not come here, I think I would have stayed in my home province and I would have stuck with my stereotypes for the longest time.
But something was about to challenge her views even more.
I met my husband, who was then just a friend. We got into a long-distance relationship after I finished varsity. And I came back to live this side because I'd found the one.
What's controversial is that he was from the Xhosa tribe. I'll be telling you more about that later. Varsity is university, right?
Yes. We usually call it varsity this side for short.
And what did you do at varsity? At varsity?
I studied at varsity. I studied accounting.
Yeah.
I studied a degree in accounting. I'm an accountant by profession.
Just like my mom. Whereas I'm really bad at numbers. You know, when you go to a restaurant and then you have to split the bill, that's like a nightmare for me. It's a nightmare.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you have a daughter now. How old is she?
Yes, I have a 3-year-old daughter, but she'll be turning 4 this year, later this year.
That's such an exciting age.
Yes, where they speak their minds and say whatever they think.
Nkule responded to my shout out for letters after stumbling across the show one evening.
I normally listen to podcasts before I sleep. So I went in and I started looking for family orientated ones. And it actually popped up. At that time, there was just the intro and the Dear Coco. I think that was the only one that was at that time. So I really loved it. And I thought, this is my space. This is a space that I'd actually love to join in.
So you wrote this letter. Do you want to go ahead and read it to us?
Dear daughter, I was born in Durban, your dad in King William's Town, and you in Port Elizabeth, which is now called Bamega. This was made possible by us moving away from our hometowns and our townships and marrying outside our own tribes. I'm from the Zulu tribe, which is one of the biggest tribes in South Africa. One that usually prefers sticking to its own, and dad is from the Xhosa tribe, which has other stereotypes that are not very favorable to the Zulu community. Going to university in another province and working in another province has helped me open my eyes and appreciate people who are different from me. I had to overcome an anxiety of being Zulu in a Xhosa land and let go of the stereotypes I previously had of the Xhosa people, as well as other nationalities. You are currently 3, but I would not want you to not have lived in another city, province, or even country in your old age. This is me saying, leave your hometown, meet people of different cultures, try new food, learn a new language, and discover people's heritages. I do realize from conversations that I have with people who have never left my hometown that they are locked up in a cage when it comes to exploring life. I would not want that for you. So whether it's your talent, work, or friendship, let it allow you to travel around our beautiful country and beyond. Endless love, Mom.
So before we jump in and talk about the letter, I just want to set the scene. I know it's hard to visualize something when you're listening to people talk in a podcast and there's no screen to look at, but I want to try and give you an idea of a map of South Africa. Nkula is from the northeastern side of the country. Her province, KwaZulu-Natal, is next to the Indian Ocean. The province below that is the Eastern Cape, where she went to university and met her husband. They now live and work in the city where they studied. And just to give you an idea of distances, it's over 1,000 kilometers from Nkule's home to Durban, where she was born. It would take you around 12 hours to drive or an hour and 45 minutes to fly.
Okay, South Africa is quite vast in terms of tribes. And just to highlight, we have 11 official languages, not just languages that are spoken. So, you know, if you are from one side of the country, you might have your own perception about how the other side is. So we all have different ideas that we have about each other. Some of them are good, but not all of them.
So could you tell us some of the stereotypes that exist in South Africa about the different tribes?
Okay, about my tribe, first of all, the Zulu tribe, we are known for being very violent. I can't even smack a person, but I'm stereotyped as violent and stubborn. And Zulu people are known to marry each other so that they can avoid speaking any other language, that they would go abroad and call the people abroad foreigners, even though they are the foreigner. So that's the stereotype about Zulu people. About the Xhosa people, it's mainly that they are deceptive, they are liars, they are beautiful, and that they are smart. Okay, so there are some positives in that.
And that is a background to the romance that sprung up between Nkule and her husband. They're from different places, different tribes, and everyone around them knows the stereotypes. You two go to university, varsity, and you find each other. Was there a bit of trepidation when you met each other and started to fall in love and think, oh my gosh, what does this actually mean in terms of our backgrounds? How long did you say you dated for?
We were dating from 2012 and only got married in 2016.
So how did that work in terms of just your parents, for example, or your family reacting to the fact that you have a friend who's Xhosa and you have a boyfriend and now you have a husband?
That's another thing about our families, this side. You don't introduce a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. It's abominable. It's taboo. Yeah. You only introduce them when they are coming to pay lobola, which is like dowry for the bride price. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you don't just come and introduce a boyfriend. So they didn't know about him. And neither did his family know about me. So we had to keep it under. So only the friends knew about us.
But does that mean the first time both your parents found out what tribe he was from was the day that he came to ask for your hand in marriage and pay the bride price?
It was when I told them there are people who want to come and pay lobola, which is the bride price. So they asked, who is this? And then I start giving them the name and they pick up that this surname is not familiar. So they ask, are they Xhosa? And then I do say, yes, they are Xhosa. And they also ask, okay, is he using his mother's surname? Is he using his mother's surname or is he using his dad's surname? And I say,
why?
He's using
what
his mother's surname.
What difference does that make?
If you're using your mom's surname, it means that your parents are not married.
Right.
Yes. So if your parents are married, then you probably use your dad. So they were a bit hopeful after I told them that he's using his mother's surname. So possible that the dad might be Zulu, which would be a relief for them. And then I gave them the surname. They're like, oh, all sounds Xhosa. Is he really Xhosa? I said, yes, he is Xhosa, fully Xhosa. So I remember there was no excitement in their faces, because now the perception they have is there, that I'm being deceived.
And what about on his side of the family?
Well, his side of the family is a bit more traveled. So they've met people of different tribes.
Could you explain to our listeners what lobola is?
It's dowry. It's the bride price that you pay when you want to have someone's hand in marriage. So what would happen is the gentleman would make his intentions known to his uncles. We don't say your fathers, your uncles, and will tell them, okay, I've seen a girl from this family and I would like to marry her. So the next step is he should write a letter, or the uncle should write a letter, and they send it to the girl's family and say, we've seen a flower in your garden and would like to pick that flower. So in them saying that letter, then the parents can say, okay, we are available on day X, Y, Z. You can come. So they come and then they negotiate the lobola, the bride price now. It has been a bit commercialized in some families that my daughter is educated, my daughter doesn't have a child, my daughter is a virgin. So there's also those things that come up. But the main aim of this was to say, can the families unite? You know, that's the main thing. It's uniting the families. It used to be in the form of cattle, like live cattle. I got some cattle and I got some, you know, money for my lobola. So they come with cattle. It's 11 if you're from an ordinary family in the Zulu culture. And I think it goes up to 25 or more if you're from a king's family.
And I was seven cows. Only seven. So my tribe is seven cows. So it just reinforces what you've been talking about, that we're not actually that much different, but we have more similarities than probably than we don't, and coexisting, especially as your daughter grows into a completely different world and generation, is so important. You know, we're able to chat about this stuff on a podcast. It will do her good to, you know, learn how to coexist and appreciate other cultures, like you said. And one of the other things for me is that because of all the worries or fears I've had for my own daughter, I have wanted to keep her in a cage. You know, half of me wants to lock the cage and put it in a room and lock the door of the room and put it, you know, lock the door of the house, because I just want to keep her safe.
But there's more to explore than to actually hide, because I've just discovered that, you know what, the more you keep to yourself, the less you learn, the less you discover.
So we're opening the doors of the cages and we're letting them out. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Fly, bird, fly.
What about you? Do you intend to travel much?
I should. I should travel, because South Africa has 9 provinces and I've only been to 4. I need to travel my country more before I even consider going out of my own country.
Yeah, that's a really good place to start, and take your girl with you.
Now already she's getting the opportunity to travel, because my family is outside of this province. So when she goes there, that's already a trip outside our own province and city.
Say your own family, like your parents, they've obviously never left their hometown, if that's the previous generation. Have they left their hometown much?
The first time they came to Eastern Cape was like for my wedding. But when we came now to the Eastern Cape in the Xhosa land, we had to do things the Xhosa way. So that actually opened their eyes. And there's a part in the Xhosa wedding where they dress you in these new clothes, because you're a new makoti, you're a new bride. So I was dressed in this, it's a duk, it's like a head wrap, it's black. And then you wear a formal shirt, you put a towel over the formal shirt, like a bath towel size, a rug, like the blue checked rug, and a long German print skirt. However, from my side of the family, when you are dressed like that, it's when you are mourning the death of a child.
Mm.
So I'm here getting married. It's a happy day. I walk into this room. They dress me up like this. I walk out and my parents look sad. So it was quite a mixture of emotions, because I also know I haven't lost a child. I've never had a child. So I started crying. I wept because I was really feeling that, no, this can't be. And I also didn't know about this part of the wedding, that I actually have to dress up like this. But I came to accept it because I had to wear that outfit for a month.
Really?
Yes. Some families, my in-law said I can only wear it for a month. Other families, they stretch it. Could be 6 months, could be a year. It just depends on the family. My in-law said 1 month is enough for me. So it was quite a contradictory scene, because, yeah, both families have a different understanding of what it is.
Nkule has been shaped by the journey that she has been on since leaving her hometown. And it's important to her that her daughter knows and embraces both families.
So even now, when I want her to refer to herself, I don't want her to say, I am Xhosa and I'm not Zulu. I want her to feel 100% Zulu and feel 100% Xhosa, so that she knows she's got the best of both tribes. So I already feel that she has an advantage, because she's got two heritages. Like, she's got my heritage, she's got dad's heritage. And I wanted to learn that, even with other people, that really whatever you learn about them, like in the streets, is not accurate. You need to meet the people and interact with them to actually know how they are as an individual.
And you talk about her, you know, learning new cultures and languages and trying new foods. What would you say is the value in that, in terms of what she will gain from it as a person?
I think it's just the appreciation that other people are just different from you, and it is okay that they are not you, that not everyone has to walk the same path that you walked in, that other people have different heritages. For example, when I went to live in Johannesburg, I interacted with people of the Tsonga culture. They eat something called mopane worms. I still cannot stomach them to this day. The problem with mopane worms for me is that they do look like a live caterpillar to me, even if it's not live.
It's
so, yeah, it looks like it's going to crawl out of the plate. So I want to stay a little bit away from it.
Our producer here in Nairobi is Noni, and she loves the worms.
I grew up in Botswana, so we had them quite a few times.
Oh, my goodness. The mopane worms.
They're delicious.
You could like breadcrumbs or something to hide the look.
No, I don't even want. I don't even want. If I know that they are there, can I please not have them?
I think we're all guilty of placing people into boxes. It may be huge prejudice or little assumptions made with colleagues, your neighbors, your friends. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that people are inherently who they are. So I might be rude. It's not about where I come from or what tribe I am. I'm just a rude person. Or I could be a very lovely and helpful person, and that is who I am. It's nothing to do with my people or my ancestors. You know what I mean? Nkule recognized this. She recognized that some of the stereotypes that she had grown up internalizing, she recognized that this was harmful. And she was able to do that by meeting the love of her life. And now that they are raising their own child, she wants better for her daughter. She wants to make sure that her daughter doesn't fall into that same trap, live a life where she's not exposed, where she doesn't have empathy, my favorite word, where she remains in a box. And not only did her and her husband overcome this stereotype and this way of thinking, but in turn, they opened up their own families into thinking differently just by being together and being in love. And hopefully their families will have that same impact to other people. And it will continue in that way to break down some of these stereotypes that are universal. Nobody is immune to it. Sometimes in life, I think the people that will make you feel like you can't do something are the people closest to you and the people that love you the most. And they're not doing it out of malice. They do it because they want what's best for you, and they want to guard you from anything that they might perceive as dangerous or foreign. But it's from a place of love. But it's only you who can see the value of who you are and understand that this journey is yours. So as much as I might want to lock my daughter up in a tower like Rapunzel, I would be doing more harm than good. And Nkule has realized that she has to open up the world to her daughter and allow her daughter to go out, make her own decisions, be there when you need me, but live your life. Next episode, I'm talking to Tumi Morake. She's a comedian from South Africa, and she tells me the best piece of advice she got from her mother.
Move with the confidence of a cockroach. Her thing was, you will find a cockroach somewhere. Cockroaches will get in wherever they want to get in, and you need to get in wherever you want to get in. Get in. And you get in unapologetically. When you catch a roach, it doesn't apologize for being there. It doesn't immediately scurry. Sometimes it'll stop and be like, yeah, and
stare at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dear Daughter is presented by me, Namulanta Kombo, and produced by me with support from Lucy Burns, Mudhoni Mushiri, Natasha Fernandez, Charlotte MacDonald, and Hannah Uguru. The editor is Penny Murphy, mixed by Neil Churchill. Theme music composed by Justin Nichols. Al Riddell is a BBC World Service podcast producer, and John Manel is the podcast commissioning editor. See you next time.
Namulanta, thank you very much. So that's just one of the episodes. There are lots more where that came from. So just remind listeners where they can find Dear Daughter.
So you can just search for Dear Daughter wherever you get your podcasts. And Kim, a question for you. What's coming up next on The Comb?
Well, I have a question for you firstly. So you live in Nairobi, right, Namulanta?
I do.
Do you enjoy living in Nairobi?
I love living in Nairobi.
Okay, well, next week we are hearing from a Nairobian who's considering leaving the city and also from a couple who've packed their bags and left for the countryside. And we're going to be exploring the reasons behind that. So that's the episode coming up next week. And then we have another episode after that, which asks the question, who is Kenya open to? And if that is an intriguing question, then you should tune in for that episode as well. So those are the two episodes coming up. And then we have plenty more after that as well.
Sounds exciting.
It is. Well, Namulanta, thank you very much. I'll be back next week with The Comb. Thanks for listening.